Hey guys, it's Chris and Carly back, and we're here today to talk about just something basic, but something that probably a lot of people are wondering about, and that is what are just symptoms, I suppose, is maybe not the right word, but of being an average teen, or what is actually a warning sign that something else is happening, whether that's depression, mental health, suicide. So what is just being a normal teenager, and what is something that a parent should actually look into and think of as a warning sign?
Right. So this is a particularly difficult time of year for most teenagers. Test time is coming up. We're getting into, especially if you're in the upper grades, kind of starting to think more about college and college applications. And I know teen life, we get a lot more calls for our groups during this time,
right?
because the school staff is really feeling the heat. And so we found this Insta post from a feed called the Yellow Tulip Project. They made this great infographic that we'll attach to this recording. And they basically broke down what are the signs of average adolescence, just basic behaviors, versus potential warning signs for mental health or suicidal thoughts. And we thought that this time of year, kind of going into the spring, this would be a really good time to break this down and talk through this. So be sure to look at that, and full credit to the Yellow Tulip Project for this great infographic.
Yeah, awesome.
So the first thing we'll do all three. We'll talk about average adolescence versus potential warning signs. So if you have a student that you're working with and you see them withdrawing from family to spend more time with friends, we would say that is an average kind of adolescent behavior, something you would expect to see.
Right, because at that time of life, they're making more friends. They're gaining freedom. We talk about that in our training a lot, how important independence and freedom is for teenagers. And so at some point, they are going to start to distance, but they're going to distance for other people. And so they might not spend as much time with your family. When they get a car, especially, you're going to see that decrease, because they have the freedom to leave home, to go see friends, to go to dinner, to want to go to the movies. And that is definitely something that's normal. So keep those family times still sacred for your family, but just know that for this stage, it's probably not going to be the same.
And I think as a parent, this is probably one of the most difficult parts of your child becoming a teenager, is that withdrawing, and understand that is completely normal, and that is a developmental stage. They need to be able to do that, and so but that's an average adolescent sign. But where it starts to become more of a warning sign, where it's not normal teenage behavior, is withdrawing from family, friends, and social activity altogether.
Right. So if you go from being involved in a lot of things, being involved with family, to being involved with nothing. No friends, no extracurriculars, just doing the things that they love, they're not doing anymore. Yeah, I think that would be a warning sign that something else might be going on.
Right.
And so pay attention to, if they're withdrawing from your family, are they drawing close to other people? And if they are, that's great, but make sure that they have other people in their life. And if they're just withdrawing completely, and not spending time with even friends or people at school, people at church, teammates, then maybe that's a sign that you should be asking more.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was going to say, is that's your invitation to ask.
Right.
Not an invitation to diagnose necessarily. And so just being able to know that line is going to be really important. Withdrawing from you guys as a family, that's normal, but all together, we want to pay attention to that and make sure that they get the help that they need. Moving on. Average adolescent behavior is wanting more privacy, and that's maybe more time in the room, less interaction about things that they would consider to be more socially sensitive. And while maybe more annoying or kind of jarring to family life whenever your student is starting to kind of withdraw that way and not really want to talk as much about what's going on with school or relationships or their hopes and dreams, it is pretty normal.
Right. And I even think, too, with this privacy comes with siblings. They're going to want privacy and want their things, people not going in their room, with social media, with their phones, of not wanting people to look at their phone. privacy is a big deal for teenagers, and we hear them talk about it a lot,
mm-hmm.
of when someone goes through their stuff, when someone looks at something without asking,
mm-hmm.
That's a privacy issue. And that probably comes back to trust and freedom, and do you trust them? And so that is a normal behavior, that they're just going to want a little bit more privacy. And I think that's different for different stages. When they're younger, maybe they don't need as much privacy, but if they've built up that trust, that's mm-hmm. up for the family to decide how much privacy they can give them.
And that privacy is also a way they can figure out the world too. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when you're wanting to be more to yourself, you're thinking about life, you're thinking about the things that decisions you're having to make, and developmentally that's very appropriate,
right?
For them to be able to have that time to, like we say, kind of work with the shiny new tools of self-reflection mm-hmm. and introspection, talking to themselves, that kind of stuff. That's all pretty new to an adolescent. And so privacy is that place where they get to flex those muscles and figure out how to use those tools. But where it becomes a warning sign, where we're wanting to pay more attention, is becoming secretive and really being seeming to hide something.
Right. And I would say, just for parents, look for red flags. Of, is it privacy or is there something else? And we talk about that in our training too. Some mm-hmm. of the red flags, if they get super angry, if they seem like they're hiding something and there's something different,
mm-hmm.
Then maybe that is. And we'll talk about in a little bit some kind of practical steps to take after this. But that's just where, once again, just ask more questions.
Mm-hmm.
Don't jump to conclusions just because your teenager is hiding one thing, that there's mental health or there's suicide. But mm-hmm. at the same time, be aware that if there's secretive things or they're hiding stuff from you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's important to sometimes teenagers don't always keep their story straight, and we talk about that a lot mm-hmm. Whenever we're working with our volunteers. It doesn't always mean they're necessarily hiding something. Maybe they don't have their story straight, and
right.
they're not being purposely deceptive. And so really being patient and having compassion for their stage of life is really important as a helper, to not be accusatory, to keep that trust, that relationship, even if you don't quite know what's going on, being able to ask those questions or find someone who will ask those questions. Mm-hmm. But it is a warning sign whenever we're starting to hide stuff
yeah.
and we're starting to kind of keep things to ourselves and not talk. We really want to be concerned if that's the case. So finally, an average adolescent behavior is moving from childhood likes to teenage pursuits.
Mm-hmm.
And I know as parents, especially for parents, this is one of the hardest ones, where you start to see the things, you know, maybe the burst of imagination and the playfulness of childlike behavior really turn more into caring more what people think.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those those aspects of teenage behavior that are pretty stereotypical.
Right. And I think this is probably the one that concerns parents and adults the most, when you completely change what you like.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes you think something else is going on. Why they used to like that and now they don't. However, like you said, developmentally they're different. As they get into middle school and start playing sports or band or choir, just interests are going to change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's normal and that's okay. As long as they are replacing it with something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, I think, where that potential warning sign comes in. If they're replacing old interest with nothing, and now they're just staying home, and now they're just laying in their bed, or they're not going out and they don't have an interest anymore, that's where there would be a warning sign.
Right. And that's where, as a parent, we have to be very discerning, and mm-hmm. or as a helper, very discerning that that they're replacing that stuff, that there's new things. Sometimes, whether you like it or not, what they're replacing it with, at least they're replacing it with something, and they're having some interest in something that's going to help them grow and continue to develop out as an adolescent. If there's nothing being replaced, then it's gonna be almost a feedback loop, where if they're on their own all the time, they're withdrawing, they're going to start becoming more secretive. I don't want to talk to anyone, and they're not replacing mm-hmm. those childlike interest to those teen pursuits, then we want to be really concerned that maybe something deeper is going on. With any signs of mental health or suicide, so much can be prevented by the helpers paying attention
right.
and asking the good questions. We're going to kind of get to that in our second half of this video, this presentation. to talk about what can we do as helpers if we notice these warning signs.
Exactly. So we will be back with some more. Mm-hmm. Hey, Chris. So what if I told you that not only could you see this podcast in video form, but you could also get access to mental health professionals, counselors, experts in their field as well?
I would ask, how would I do that?
I'm kind of selling myself on this as well. Yeah, exactly. But basically, we have created something called the Teen Life Impact Group. And if you go to teenlife.ngo/impact, you can find out more information about this. But by being a monthly impact giver, $5 a month is all it would take. That's the minimum. Mm-hmm. But you can go up more than that if you want. All that money goes to helping teenagers. Mm-hmm. But you also get access to a private Facebook group where we're going to have a monthly resident expert. They're going to talk about things this just month. We talked about negative self-talk, mm-hmm, and how important it is and what can you do to help teenagers correct that. Mm-hmm. And we've got great experts coming up in the future. So you can continue to get content like what we're doing right now. In addition to discussion, if you have questions, you can put it out there and there will be experts and the Teen Life staff there to help you answer all those questions.
Mm-hmm. If you're a podcast listener, if you've heard some of our episodes in the past, we're going to get some of those people on and be able to get some deeper dives in some of the topics they talked about and the things that they're passionate about. And we have a list of brand new people who are going to come, and every single month are going to be able to deliver things that will help you as a helper and will also give you the opportunity to find support with other helpers. And so we're going to create great discussions, great feedback, to be able to talk through the things that you see that what's worked for you as a helper and things that haven't worked. And so that's another great aspect of the Teen Life Impact Group. So for as little as $5 a month, you can jump on and participate in this incredible resource. I really encourage you guys to take advantage of that.
Yeah, so jump on to teenlife.ngo/impact to find out more information. So now that we've talked about what are warning versus normal adolescent behaviors, we want to talk about, what do you do? Mm-hmm. If you see a warning sign, or even if your curiosity just kind of is like, there might be something else going on, what can you do? How can you talk to a teenager? And so that's what we want to cover right now.
Mm-hmm. So we, as a helper, it's really good to be self-reflective and ask yourself before you go and have that conversation, how am I feeling about this? Mm-hmm. And we often don't do that. We often come charging in with our advice and the things that we feel like they need to hear from us.
Right.
And it's good to take a quick second for a check-in and maybe ask yourself, how do I feel about talking about suicide or mental health? If this is your child, if this is a kid in your classroom, a kid that you're coaching, a kid that you're mentoring, how comfortable am I really with talking about suicide or mental health, and can I overcome that?
Right. And so one of the important things, too, to know as a helper, you don't have to have all the answers. Mm-hmm. If you go and start talking to a teenager and they need more help, get them more help. You mm-hmm. don't have to be the one that has all the answers, but you have to be comfortable enough to talk about it. You mm-hmm. have to be comfortable enough to ask the question, to dive into that conversation, to care enough about a teenager to say, hey, I noticed something, and so I want to talk to you about it. And so if you aren't comfortable with that, like you said, how can you overcome that? Do you need to talk to someone first and work through something yourself before you can approach a teenager?
Mm-hmm. So whether that's your spouse or that's a trusted mentor or someone that you can just say, hey, I need to have this conversation. I don't quite know how to do it. Help me out with this. Tell me, this is what I feel like I'm going to say. But it just kind of gives you a chance to talk it out in your own head. And some of the things we're going to talk about here, sometimes I'll literally just drive in my car and talk and hear myself saying it. And like if I can actually hear those words coming out of my mouth and they sound super awkward, I might need to take a second pass at that, whether it's writing it down, but just some way to get out of your own head. If you truly do feel uncomfortable, like us at Teen Life, these are conversations we have all the time. So we have a comfort level with that, but this is your first time really having this conversation. Like, we feel for you. It's right. It can be kind of awkward. But also understand from the teenager's end, no matter how they respond, they appreciate it, mm-hmm. that you're willing to have that conversation.
Totally.
So also asking yourself the question, and if you've listened to the podcast very long, you know we're pretty big on this. Are you really listening, or are you just mm-hmm. giving advice?
Exactly, because if there's a warning sign, you need to be asking questions. Like we said, You do not need to assume that there's mental health problems there if you see one thing that causes you to question. So just ask a question. Just open up a discussion. But you don't need to say, this is wrong and I think you have mental health and I think all these things, I think you're depressed. Please do not go diagnosing teenagers if you are not trained and been to school to do that. But just listen. Ask good questions and sit there. Take a minute to not go through all the things, all the worries in your mind or trying to guess what they're going to say, but purely just listen.
Because this is not about your anxieties. It's about theirs.
Right.
And exactly. so keeping the focus on that, you can find ways to try to take pressure and stress off of the teenager. Because a lot of times, almost all these times, it is because of just something they can't handle.
Right.
Or at least they think they can't handle. And so if there are ways you can say, hey, put your homework up tonight. Let's go grab something to eat. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, you know the things they love to do and help them engage in that, whatever that looks like. But just a way you can take some pressure off of the teenager.
Right. And then another important thing is making sure that you personally are modeling how to handle stress well. Teenagers are in an incredibly stressful time of life. Mm-hmm. Are you handling stress well? Because that's how they're learning how to handle stress. Mm-hmm. If they see you stressed at work or with family and how you handle that and it's negative, they're going to turn to negative things as well. Mm-hmm. And so also that's a really hard thing to do, is to self-reflect and say, okay, maybe they're struggling because I'm struggling as well. And so take some time also to help yourself before you help a teenager.
And if you know that you are struggling with how you're handling your stress, it's okay to be confessional with your student about that.
Totally.
If I know I'm not really doing well with this right now, and so if you need to apologize or say, can you help me or can I help you? We're in this together. Neither one of us are probably handling this the way we could, but some way you can make a connection. And if it is over both your mishandlings of stress, and that's the way to connect. Right. At least we're all being honest, right? Finally, trying to place trusted adults in their life so they can also be looking for. And so if you're part of a church family, part of a community, part of other adults who can speak into their lives, we really, really encourage that, because if it's not you, it needs to be someone that is looking out for them. And so being on the lookout of what adults do they really connect with, and make sure that you pull them in on these conversations as well.
Right. And even little things like have some adults follow your teenager on social media. Mm-hmm. If they're nervous about you following them, say, okay, I need you to pick three adults that can follow you if it's not me. But have adults be on the lookout, like, hey, I noticed something. Even if a teenager has a few adults that can say, hey, you said this on social media. What did you mean by that? If it's not you, make sure you have other people who are looking out for them as well, that they're noticing new behaviors, that they're noticing these things. You might not catch everything because you're so close. And so having other people that they can go to if they need to talk to, but can also help you look for warning signs is a huge deal. And then finally, kind of what we want to talk about is what can you actually ask a student? So when you're having a conversation with a student, where do you start? An easy thing is, hey, I've noticed that you've been acting different. What's going on? You don't have to start out and say, are you depressed? That doesn't have to be the first thing that you do, but just saying, hey, I'm noticing this. And that shows a teenager too, hey, I care enough about you that I noticed that you dropped this activity. I noticed you're not hanging out with that friend anymore. I noticed you changed the way that you dress. What's going on? Just tell me about it.
And the way you word that's important. We talk a lot about taking the word why out of your question. So saying, why are you acting this way? Probably is not going to get the results that you want. And so I like that. What's going on? I've noticed this. And they might say, no, nothing to see here. But they know that you notice. And so that's a starting point, at least. If you're really concerned about their safety, and they have shown some of the signs we talked about in the previous part of this presentation, and at some point we'll record some more specific signs of suicidal thoughts and behaviors. Right. There's some things that you can really be looking for. But if you really do suspect that, your greatest tool is your question. And we encourage you to come straight out and ask the question, are you thinking of killing yourself? Mm-hmm. And that seems really, really direct. And I think some people fear asking that question, thinking that maybe you're going to put some ideas in their head. Like, no, I hadn't thought about that, but I am now. That's usually not what's going on. No. Right. And so being very direct with that question, are you thinking about killing yourself? Have you ever considered it? And that's going to likely get you a lot farther by being as direct and honest as you possibly can with that question.
Right. And we'll link some of our previous podcasts as well that talked about suicide. But just asking the question, get it out there. Have you ever considered it? Have you come up with a plan?
Mm-hmm.
Have you considered it in the past? Having that conversation, because then they know it's out in the open. If the answer is no, then the answer is no and you move on.
Mm-hmm.
But you've asked the question. But another important one too is just, how can I help? How can I help you? How can I take pressure off? How can we have better discussions?
Mm-hmm.
What can I do to help you if there is something going on, if there is something wrong,
mm-hmm.
is a big question as well.
And just make sure going into these conversations that you are willing to make the changes you need to make as a helper, the adjustments you need to make that are going to be really helpful for them. So if they're like, you know, I wish you would stay off your phone or, you know, you're always gone. You know, I'd like to talk to you more. Be willing to make those adjustments for the sake of the teenager that you work with. And, you know, having that list of people at the ready of who would you be comfortable talking to. They might say, I don't know. But you know, hey, we've got a coach or a teacher or a counselor or a student pastor or a mentor or a close family friend. And just kind of have that list of names. Like have you thought about talking to them?
Right.
Because I think that'd be really great for you to talk to.
Right. Because if the answer is, if you're asking what I can do to help and they don't know and they don't seem to be opening up to you, you can then ask, well, who could you talk to?
Mm-hmm.
Who would you be comfortable talking to? Because sometimes it is, I tell parents this a lot, sometimes it is really difficult to talk to your parent about something that it wouldn't be difficult talking to someone outside of the
mm-hmm.
home. And so making sure that you have a list of trusted adults that you trust the advice that they would give your student. You trust that if something was really wrong, that they would come to you or they would handle it in a way that you would agree with.
Mm-hmm.
Is important in making sure that your student has someone to talk to and not being defensive of that. I feel like it would be hard not to get defensive of, well, why can't they tell me that?
Mm-hmm.
But if it's best for your student to talk to someone else, let that happen.
Yeah. The end game is you want your teenager, the student that you work with, to get the help they need for them to be safe and them to ultimately get better.
Right.
And so taking our own prides and egos and feelings out of it as much as we possibly can, and no, we might not be the person, but we're going to find the person who will help you with that, will be a really, really important thing. We can also refer you to great resources and counselors. We feel like school counselors are some of the best resources out there, some of those underutilized resources.
Right.
We find, especially as we're on campuses with our support groups, that most of the time students don't know that their counselors are there for their social emotional support too.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes not only helping them with classes, but there are a lot more resources on public school campuses than we realize.
Right.
And we can help you find those resources, but make sure you pull your school counselor in on that.
Yeah, definitely. So, just kind of to wrap up, we encourage you to be looking for, ways that you can help your student. We encourage you to notice the little things, to have the conversation, and just to encourage them that they're not alone in this.
Mm-hmm.